Something very simple. We know what a color is, but nobody can imagine a new color. Because we cannot imagine a new color, we cannot think of a new color, we cannot create a new color. So we are limited by our own limitations. And this is the point you're trying to raise here.
Yeah, and we may give another example, and that is of a fetus. If
right.
you're able to talk to a fetus that there is a role outside the womb of mother.
Right, yes.
And there are many things, I mean, trees, seas,
everything,
oceans, and
everything. Right.
The fetus will not believe that as long as it's limiting itself to
right.
that small world. So
that's talking to a blind man about all of the different colors of the world.
Exactly.
Like, I cannot see it. I cannot believe it.
So I believe for those people who sometimes they find it very difficult to understand the answer to this question, they may think of simple examples that I mentioned about the wetness of water
right.
and the fat of the oil. Or sometimes for some of them, they need to think about those philosophical arguments.
Right.
I mean, it's a fact. If there is no being who is what we call it necessary being, at the first, as the main cause of the whole creation, then
right.
there would be no creation. For some people, it would be beneficial if they think of examples of cases which are beyond the laws of this
right.
Material life.
Depends on the person. Like, you cannot, a small child asking, where did God come from, come and tell them about infinite regression.
Exactly.
It depends.
Yeah. So, to refer to the last point in this regard, because sometimes people ask this question because they say that every cause has an every effect needs a cause.
Right.
So the same should be there for God. But the point is that we need to differentiate between contingent human being and the necessary being, that is
right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do not,
that is not dependent
consider
on
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as
right.
an effect to be caused by another cause. If you consider such a God, then it's not the true God. It is God through your imagination. And that God needs a cause. So name that that cause the main
right.
God. And
right.
still, if that cause has this need to another,
then that is not God.
Created,
the
again,
other
he is not
God. God. Right.
But at the end of the day, there must be a real God.
There must be an origin.
Exactly.
And on that note, we will have to end today's perhaps heavy philosophical, theological discussion. Dear Sheikh, I thank you for your valuable knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for sticking with us through this discussion. And fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Terrorists are firing mortars at us here.
Seven difficult years have passed since the war broke out in Syria. 7 years is by no means a short period of time, and when you review the many different incidents that took place, it feels like it has actually lasted for decades. According to international reports, by the end of 2018, the Syrian war has claimed the lives of more than 500,000 people and left 12 million others displaced. Now the conflict has entered the eighth year, and Syria is nothing like the beautiful country it once was. Perhaps this is what makes it so interesting to visit and witness its realities. Syria in 2018. The story of Syria always starts from Aleppo, which is not the capital, but the most important city in the country. This is why capturing Aleppo meant victory for both sides of the conflict. But finally, in 2016, the war in Aleppo ended, and the very last armed groups left the city. Now the main issue is returning to normal life in this old city, where only 1 million out of its previous 5 million population is left. The war for the liberation of Aleppo lasted 4 long years, but it was well worth the fight. Aleppo, the most important Syrian city, was occupied by the terrorists, and it became the symbol of resistance and victory. Now there are many stories from Aleppo's resistance spread throughout Syria. One of the most famous stories is about the citadel of Aleppo, where the defenders of the city fought tooth and claw. The citadel of Aleppo was a symbol of the city, like a flag raised above the land. Unlike the war, which is over in most parts of Syria, the process of returning displaced people to their cities and homes has only just begun. The cities are razed to the ground, and in some places, there isn't a single building left unharmed. But the people insist on returning to their homes and hometowns. And these days, Aleppo is the biggest symbol of the people's enthusiasm to return home. These days, Syria is filled with bizarre events and situations. Here in Aleppo, people are impatiently waiting to return to their homes. But not too far away, there are people who are forced to flee from their houses. But this time, the Takfiri terrorists are not the occupiers that has decided to occupy some parts of the country under the pretext of removing the Kurdish threat. The people of this region, who were under the control of the terrorists not long ago, are now displaced by the Turkish army and its affiliated armed forces. The refugees are fleeing Tunubl and El Zahra, the two Shia towns that were besieged for 2 years. And this is another extraordinary event that is taking place in Nubl and El Zahra these days. The Shia people of Nubl and El Zahra, who have just recently been liberated, are now the host of their Sunni countrymen. And this is happening in a place where they strive to portray the war as sectarian conflicts. Turkey has been on one side of the conflict in Syria all throughout the 7 years of war, just like Saudi Arabia and the United States. But when the outcome was not what they had expected, Turkey entered the battlefields to have a say in Syria's future. Turkey, under the pretext of the Kurdish threat to its borders, and the United States, under the pretext of maintaining its military bases in Jordan, entered Syria. The arrival of these new occupiers is part of the events shaping Syria these days. Homs is considered the heart of Syria. You cannot speak about the news in Syria without talking about Homs and the events which are taking place in this large province. The undeniable fact is that in the Syrian war, a portion of the people joined the armed groups and entered a war with the central government. Although the armed forces are no longer in town, their families are still living in homes among the ordinary citizens. For sure, it is merely wishful thinking to believe that they all regret their past. Many of them have lost their loved ones in this war and are filled with resentment and a desire for revenge. This fact cannot be denied in today's Syria. So when the armed groups are referred to as the armed forces instead of the opposition, their family members refuse to proceed with the interview as a sign of protest. In Syria, Christians are not a small minority. You can see them in many different parts of the country, and some towns and villages can even be found that are completely populated by Christians. One such town is the Christian town of Marde. The war in Syria was different for two groups of people compared to the rest of the country, Shias and Christians. The situation would grow worse if the terrorists could identify a place with an unmixed population of Shias or Christians. In such cases, the outcome was predictable. If the terrorists entered such towns or villages, no one would manage to escape alive. In these 7 years of war, there were so many execution squads that it was not hard to guess the outcome. This was the reason that compelled the Shias and Christians to defend their country, towns, and villages with all their might. Today, Syria is full of Christian families who have lost their loved ones for the freedom of their country, and they proudly speak about their resistance and martyrs. The Syrian war was not a religious one, but attempts were made from the very beginning to find an excuse to create tensions between the world's Muslims and the central government of Syria. However, reality was something different. For example, many of the people of Hama, an almost unmixed population of Sunnis, refused to accompany the armed groups and did not fight against the government. Now that the war is over and the dust has settled, the truth about the lies that were broadcast to the world about Syria can be revealed. For example, the story of the use of chemical weapons against the people of Douma and the footage of the boy who was claimed to be one of the victims of the attack.
The story dominates.
It was claimed that the Syrian army had used chemical weapons in Douma, after which the United States, the United Kingdom, and France attacked the country to punish the Syrian army. But in fact, they targeted some areas that they had planned before and were just waiting for an excuse to launch their attacks. These days in Syria, many of the events that took place during the war are being re-examined in retrospect, especially by the youth in Syria, people such as Muhammad Ali. After 7 years, the events of the war can be put together like different pieces of a puzzle. For example, why did the events in Douma escalate, and why was it used against the central government of Syria? When the Syrian government decided to put an end to the mortar attacks fired from Ghouta into Damascus, suddenly the story of Douma was made into media frenzy. Ghouta was the prestige of the armed forces in Syria. It was the only place in the Arab country which was close to Damascus and was still in the hands of the terrorists for these 7 years. And especially the Saudi-affiliated groups were threatening Damascus from there. These days in Syria, the exchange of arms and the transfer of armed forces is a reality. For the government and the resistance forces, even one less casualty is considered a victory, because these killings nurture the feelings of resentment and revenge across the generations in Syria. For this reason, in the Battle of Ghouta, when it became clear that the struggle of the armed forces would lead nowhere and they would all die if they kept fighting, the armed groups were allowed to leave the battlefield. With the liberation of Eastern Ghouta, the people of Damascus can live in peace after 7 long years. Before this, the armed forces would attack Damascus with mortars anytime they wished, killing the loved ones of families. A case in point is the tragedy that happened recently to martyr Mohammad Reza Shami. Syria in 2018 is a land of both sadness and joy. Joy because of the recapture and liberation of many regions across the country, and sadness due to the loss of so many loved ones and sheer amount of destruction and devastation. The Syrian people fought tooth and claw for their country, and Iran and the resistance fighters were with them. Now finally, after 7 years, the story of Syria and its war is coming to an end. The armed groups expected that it would end, but the story of Syria's war has a different ending. It ends with the last terrorists exiting the region. Damascus stands proudly, like many other cities, even those that were under occupation someday. But the scarred soul and bruised body of the nation needs time and care to heal.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a question which is kind of relevant to what we're all afflicted with right now, and that is the global pandemic, the coronavirus, which is spreading all over the world. The question is this. We know that today doctors are advising all human beings to distance themselves from one another in order to avoid the spread of this virus and in order to help prevent it from spreading faster than it already is. A question that comes in the mind is that, does this have any precedent in Islamic history? Or can we find any basis of this in Islamic medicine, traditional Islamic medicine, or not? This is an interesting question. We can analyze this from a number of points of view. Historically, we know that this isn't the first time that such a pandemic has occurred in human history. This has occurred both on a global scale before, as well as in certain local districts and certain local areas of the world, many times in history. In fact, as we might have mentioned in some of our previous sessions, historians have even written books specifically about this subject. For example, a historian has written a book called At-Ta'un fil Arab, right, regarding spread of the plague amongst the Arabs. Right now, we're not concerned with this part of the of this dimension of this problem. Right now, we want to see whether this has a basis, some sort of basis within traditional Islamic medicine. And the answer to that is that we don't see any direct reference to this within Islamic medicine, but we can derive certain indications from it, from certain traditions and as well as certain references in traditional Islamic medicine. For example, in certain traditional texts of Islamic medicines, there has been an advice to leave a land in which a disease is spreading. This doesn't necessarily prove that it doesn't directly mention that one should, for example, stop congregating in mosques or stop coming together in religious gatherings. But nevertheless, this concept of social distancing, it can be referenced from this. Also, there are certain references in Islamic traditions and hadith to leave this land, a land which is plagued with a certain virus. For example, Muhammad ibn Yaqub al-Qulayni in Al-Kafi, he makes a reference to this in volume 8, page 108 of this book. He makes a reference to this. Also, Shaykh Hur al-Amili in Wasail al-Shi'a, he makes a reference to this concept in volume 2, page 429. If you look at this in this place, you can see, you know, this reference to this concept of social distancing or foregoing a land in which a certain plague is or a certain disease is spreading. This is one way that we can reference this concept in Islamic medicine. So this is one way that we can examine this question, and we see that this concept of social distancing, it has a foundation and a basis in traditional Islamic medicine, and as well as the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So therefore, it's not totally unprecedented, and it has a certain Islamic nature to itself. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at social distancing in the time of the coronavirus and its Islamic nature. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are Sayyid Murtaza and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about one outstanding decision from the side of Iraq's most prominent Shia cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, who insisted on its state of neutrality concerning the makeup of the Iraqi future government. We know that they're establishing a new government in Iraq now, and the people have voted for that. But Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani stated of neutrality in that part. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you this episode. Why do you think Ayatollah al-Sistani decided such a decision?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, we can see the main role of Ayatollah Sistani, that he has the role of a leadership amongst the Iraqi nationals, basically. And we can see the way he have saved his nation from the threat of ISIS.
That's right.
You know, when he gave the fatwa of everyone should come out and they need to protect themselves and they need to come out for Iraq, basically.
That's right.
And the Sunnis, his fatwa about the Sunnis, that they are just like our body parts. Yes. They're just a part of us, basically. That's what he had. So basically, he is, his status is above all these political, we can say, you know, the fights or the differences that we can see within the political groups. And actually, in Islam, when we look at the Islamic system, within the Islamic system, we have the system of Imam and Ummah, like the leader and the followers, basically.
Yes.
Under this system, which is the basic system of, we can say, Islam, and especially in Shiaism, we follow this system. Ayatollah Sistani is playing the role of the leader at the moment for his nation. And when he's playing the role, then there is no grouping for the followers. But obviously, we are following a secular system where we have this democracy and, you know, these political systems, right and left, I don't know, the Republican and the other ones. So the decision that he made is a wise decision.
Yes.
And those even who are criticizing him basically are unknown to what he is capable of, basically.
That's right.
And they want him to get involved in the little things, little issues that they have in between them, which can be solved by the political, we can say, groups by themselves.
Okay.
And there is no need of him supporting anyone.
That's all right. And especially when we look at the country Iraq, I see our Sunni brethren also living over there, you know, and Ayatollah Sistani has always emphasized on the unity among different denominations inside Iraq and all the Muslim lands, and that's why he had made an international figure regarding from the Shia world in Islam. But Said Murtaza, again, you know, this is when, you know, out of the total seats of the, we can say the parliament, in the parliamentary elections, the Shia ones have won the chairs over there. And Ayatollah Sistani is a Shia, so automatically and technically speaking, it was expected from Ayatollah Sistani to support, you know, the Shia ones over there. But he has stated neutrality, again, not getting into the political games and the political scene of Iraq. But at the same time, behind the scene, he has this power of issuing a fatwa against ISIS and Daesh and all the people from different denominations, not only the Shia and the Sunni, but also the non-Muslims come to the scene following him. So this is the power of the Marja'iyya in Iraq. Talk a little bit about this for us.
Well, you know, we have to just again look into the issue of election from two different point of views.
Okay.
First, we know that election looks like a political game.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone involved in the political game puts his political purpose first, before any other factors. And we know that Muslims around the world have the same system somehow these days, that they are very much involved in the political issues. And election is one of them.
That's right.
As a kind of election expert, because I used to work with election commission in some countries in Africa and in Asia.
That's right.
I would like to say that the election is a technical process. We have technical campaigns, we have political supports from political parties, but the story looks a little bit different inside Iraq, because I was actually somehow involved in the election for the first time that took place after that Saddam Hussein as a dictator toppled.
Okay.
So we have this constituency election, we had this constituency election there.
Yes.
You know, we should not forget the great influence and the role of Shia authorities. And this great Marja inside Iraq is not going to belittle himself and his role as the only leader who is going to bring the whole nation together when the situation is getting tough.
That's right.
And we had this actually done by Grand Ayatollah Sistani.
Yes.
And, you know, political game is not a ground for scholars to play.
Yes.
So what they did was a great achievement for the Shia scholars.
Yes.
Because basically we need to look at the bigger picture. what stands more important than anything else inside the country?
Yes.
National integrity and national unity.
Yes.
So if these two factors have been kept and they have been actually maintained,
yes,
especially by a religious scholar,
yes,
it would certainly give this interpretation to every single individual in the country that the whole nation is together.
Yes.
And they are not going to be divided.
That's right.
Let's look if the other things would happen.
Mm-hmm.
If this Grand Ayatollah would actually take a side,
mm-hmm,
in the election, so the whole nation will actually fall apart.
Yes.
So, and the system probably will collapse.
Okay.
So in order to prevent more damages, greater damages to the national interest and to the even to the religious interest.
That's right.
So I think great Ayatollah al-Sistani made a great decision.
Yes, that's
and
right.
He and his office openly announced that they're not going to take any sides,
yes,
but they're going to actually look at the whole election,
right,
process that must be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we have actually different segments,
yes,
political segments,
yes,
in the country that each won some seats.
That's right. Okay. And Said Mohsen, do you think that this decision of Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani will make a kind of religious unity among the Sunni and Shia inside Iraq too?
It is definitely. Obviously, we have these different groups. We should not forget we have Kurds, we have the Sunni denomination, we have the Shia denomination. And as Said Murtaza has mentioned, the scholars, they should not enter into the political, you know, games that the politicians generally have, the groups have, because they come with their own personal, we can say, like, inclinement towards, you know, the thoughts that they have.
That's right.
They have their own plans. And tomorrow, if something goes wrong, the very first person who's going to be blamed,
yes,
is not the political,
yes,
party. It's going to be the Grand Ayatollah.
Yes.
So it was a wise and great decision that, mm-hmm, he made. And obviously, this will bring unity. And tomorrow, if anything happens or any, we can say, like, if there is a dispute among these parties, Ayatollah Sistani will be the one who can solve these issues,
uh-huh,
the way he did before.
Okay.
You know, obviously, we need to leave a space for someone who can resolve the issues.
That's
amongst,
right,
the political parties if tomorrow, if something happens and,
mm-hmm,
the Iraqi nation needs someone.
Mm-hmm.
So basically,
why is this independent reasoning for himself?
Yes.
You know, on president.
And
okay,
this is a big decision because,
yes,
tomorrow they will not go after America,
mm-hmm,
yeah, to come and do decision, make decision amongst us.
Yes.
They have their own personality. They have their own leader, or a Grand Ayatollah who can basically make decision for themselves. So yes, it is the matter. It will bring a unity amongst all the communities, and obviously it increases the respect of the Shia school of thought as well.
That's right.
That when such a person at a high state of a school of thought, he plays a role neutral in the election, where everything should be neutrally, should be resolved neutrally according to the process which has been defined. So therefore, the unity will increase and the respect amongst the people will increase, definitely.
That's all right. And this, as you said, from the side of the Hawza of Najaf, and you know, the Zaim, the main Zaim of the Hawza of Najaf, you know, and all the Shia houses inside Iraq comes, that is Ayatollah al-Sistani. You know, this position has shown that, again, Ayatollah al-Sistani is emphasizing on the national unity and the integrity of Iraq. And as you said, in the harsh decisions that are made, for example, the attack that ISIS made on Iraq, you know, such a personality can really help the people over there. But say, Murtaza, the case is that the Shias inside Iraq are now getting the chairs out of the parliament, the majority of the chairs out of the parliament. But again, they must not be proud of this power, is it so? Because in the next elections, something else might happen. And I think this power shift inside Iraq and the balance has to be taken care of, because the population over there is not the only Shia one.
Well, you know that if you look at the primary results of the count,
mm-hmm,
you would see that the whole ballot papers have been counted, and the political parties, usually the three major ones, won some seats,
yes,
from this election.
Yes.
And the only political party that won actually like 2/3 of the seats were the Shiite ones.
Yes.
and it shows that the majority of the people, the majority of the eligible voters actually voted for the Shiites. So it shows that it's a great opportunity for the Shiite political parties, not only one, because we have another political Shiite political party that won around 37 seats.
Yes.
So altogether, it's more than like 100 seats,
yes.
And it was allocated to the Shiite political parties. Yes. It's a great opportunity. It shows that Shiites must take this opportunity and use it in order to benefit the whole Iraqi nation. And, you know, in Iraq, we have other religions too,
yes.
other followers too.
Yes.
We have even Christians.
Yes.
We have other
yes.
followers of other religions. So Shiite must draw a very authentic picture of religious freedom.
Yes.
Unfortunately, religious freedom is not a popular term in Western parts of the world. So they say we don't have religious freedom. But what has been happening in some countries like Iraq now, in the Islamic Republic of Iran, and some
yes.
other countries, we have religious freedom.
Yes.
So this freedom must be practiced.
Yes.
And I think Shiite political parties now has that chance, and they have to grab that chance and to show to other followers of other religions
yes.
that Shiites are not very much closed-minded. So they
even,
are
even in inside Islamic Republic of Iran's parliament, we have representatives from the Sunni Brethren, from Zoroastrians, from we can say the even the Kalimi ones, you know, the Armenians, you know, they have their own representative inside our parliament inside Iran.
So this shows that the Grand Ayatollah Sistani made a very effective decision, and his role is not going to be ignored in order to increase, advance, boost national unity and national integrity.
Okay, Said Mohsen, any comment?
Well, I just wanted to add that, you know, when we see Ayatollah Sistani being neutral, we should, when we are talking about the election of the Iraq, we should also have a neutral role, or maybe let's take out this discussion from the sectarian,
sectarian
know, discussion
right.
from a general discussion that the Iraqi nation had election.
Yes.
There are some parties,
yes.
you know, obviously the parties, maybe they're like Shia and Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
We are just saying that, but I think it's not good to mention Shia and Sunni.
Really?
Well, a party has won most of the votes because, you know, if you look at the population, Shias are in majority.
Yes.
So if we say like they have won more seats, and what about the Sunnis? This is not good.
Okay.
Basically, in Iraq, there's a special like party which is related to the Sadr family.
Yes.
There are the other parties which are related to other tribes. Because another thing in Iraq, we have this tribal system as
yes.
well.
Yes.
So basically, if we put forward this word as that most of the, you can say like the votes or the seats have been taken by the Sadr
yes.
tribe, and this party has
yes.
taken it, that would be better, rather than saying if Shias are coming,
okay.
what's going to happen, or Ayatollah Sistani is Shia, because,
right.
you know, the role and the statement of Ayatollah Sistani tells us or teaches us that you should not use such words, because you should use a word which tells that within Iraq there are two parties, and a party has got more
right.
votes, what he can do.
But any group,
yeah.
Regardless of any, we can say,
sectarian
look that we have, if comes to the power, has to observe the rights
yes.
of all in
that's,
Iran,
that's
whether
important.
It be in Sunni or Shia one. That's
yeah.
right. Okay, this is the point. Thank you, my Said Mohsen and Said Murtaza, for presence in the program Viewpoints. We talked about Grand Ayatollah Sistani's decision on its state of being neutral concerning the makeup of the future government in Iraq. It was very kind of you, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Shia and Khalaf Islam page. Also, YouTube channel and Instagram page, Khalaf Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taken my
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
This is a short part of some articles about Imam Khomeini's point of view on religion and politics. According to Imam Khomeini's viewpoint, not only religion in general and Islam in particular have an interconnection with politics, rather this connection also is the cause of the union and sameness of religion and politics. Finally, Islam introduces a cohesive political and social system which perfectly answers all problems of human life and is capable of making a wide connection with economy, education, management, and sociology. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, he has PhD on Islamic science.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the search of Islam. In one of his sayings, Imam Khomeini has said after the revolution to his nation, he says that it was not our purpose or that of the Iranian nation only to see Muhammad Rida go. Muhammad Rida was the former king of Iran who was overthrown by the revolutionary Iranian nation under the leadership of Imam Khomeini. So Imam Khomeini has said that because the Iranian nation had the Islamic revolution, so it was not the purpose or that of the Iranian nation only to see Muhammad Rida go or to see monarchy go. Under the aegis of Islam, he said, we can protect our country. So basically the main purpose was to bring the Islam into the country. Therefore, Imam has said that we must strive for Islam, and it is Islam with which we can definitely protect our country. This is the Islam that protects us, that gives us the honor amongst the other nations. It is the Islam that gives us the respect and the power.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi. Salli ala Rasul Allah. Ya Rabbana, salli
if the country is run by the Islamic laws, then obviously you can see justice in such countries. But if there is no Islam, there is no justice. We can see there are many countries who talks about the justice, who talks about the human rights, but obviously they ruined the human rights. They have obviously stepped over these rights, and they're following their personal desires. Therefore, we need to, inshallah, follow the true Islam in order to protect ourselves and the country where we live, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Illallah.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Allah will say, how long did you remain on earth in number of years? They will say, we remained a day or part of a day. Ask those who enumerate. He will say, you stayed not but a little, if only you had known.
The 114th verse of the chapter says, قَالَ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. He will say, you tarried but a little, if you had only known. These couple of verses we discussed earlier in the previous programs were mentioned after the verses of the painful chastisement of the people of hell, and were meant to talk about the mental punishments in the form of divine reproach. So at first, the Almighty Allah asked them, how many years did you tarry in the earth? كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. How many years do you think you have stayed on the earth? And interestingly, these people, the unbelievers, will say, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمًا. We stayed one day or maybe a part of a day. And since they think it is not an important matter, or maybe they did not care, or probably they want to have more accurate answer to the question, they will say, فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ. Ask those who keep account. Probably this part is referring to the angels, whose responsibility is to keep the account of the days passed in the world. So, putting these two verses, we concluded how unfortunate it is that most of mankind try to buy hell and eternal punishment in exchange for the fleeting pleasures and comforts of this world that only account to day or part of the day in comparison with the days of hereafter. The 114th verse says, قَالَ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. You tarried but a little, if you had only known. And this is the answer, and this is the response they're going to have.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
This will enable them to have a new sense of time they are experiencing. So, to affirm this new sense of time they are having and to reproach them, the Holy Quran says, قَالَ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You tarried but a little. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you had only known. On the day of resurrection, indeed, they will be aware that life in the world, in comparison to the life in hereafter, lasts only a day or less. But this is the problem, that when they were in this world, their hearts, their minds, they were sealed with negligence and arrogance. So they behaved as if the world was eternal, and they considered the hereafter as something like an imagination, or something like an empty promise. And interestingly, this is what the Holy Quran brings in this holy chapter, chapter Mu'minun, to tell us that one of the main causes that the people are misled, that the people are forgetting about the path of the Almighty Allah, is because they forget this day exists. All the previously mentioned wrongdoings, all the previously mentioned misbehaviors of the believers, all those ridicules, and all those deviations from the path, as mentioned in one of the previously discussed verses, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَنِ الصِّرَاطِ لَنَاكِبُونَ. Those who do not believe in the hereafter are deviating from the way. And this is the explanation and the resolution to that story. This is the ending to that story, that all those deeds they were bringing with them is because they did not truly believe in the existence of this world. And that is why the Holy Quran implies that if they had known this reality that they understood in hereafter, they would have recognized it in the world. But it did not happen, and they are going to abide in hell forever. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to sit us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind. secret, this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Things always work for me. Why? And this when fic
begins. Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parsetoday.com/en.